Open our Bibles again to Romans chapter 10. I'd like to begin the message by asking you an honest question. I hope that you'll deal with your own heart, your own soul honestly, and answer this question to yourself honestly. Do you want to be saved? Do you? Are you willing? Do you want to be saved on God's terms? I will confess to you that is my heart's desire. There's nothing I desire more than to be saved from my sin. To experience in the soul the forgiveness of my sin. There's nothing I desire more. And I can tell you honestly, there's nothing I desire more for each of you than to be saved. To know the Lord. And in our text this morning, the Apostle Paul gives us the experience of every person God saves. And it's my prayer that the Holy Spirit will make this message so plain that you cannot miss the way of salvation. I pray that someone here this morning will hear and be saved. The title of the message is Whosoever. And first, Paul tells us here, Romans 10, beginning in verse 13, Paul tells us who it is that can be saved. It's whosoever. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, whosoever is a pretty wide word, isn't it? Are you a whosoever? You're a whosoever if you're a person. So this message is for every person here. It's for every whosoever. This word whosoever is so wide, it includes all of us. So this tells me you can be saved. And I love the way God's word reads. Only God could write his word this way. You notice this doesn't say, if the elect call upon the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. It doesn't say that, does it? Now that's true, but it doesn't say that. And I'm glad it doesn't, because I couldn't find any comfort if God said, if the elect call upon the name of the Lord, they'll be saved, because I may not know if I'm one of the elect or not, but I know I'm a whosoever. So I like this whosoever. I'm glad it doesn't say, if Frank Tate calls upon the name of the Lord, he'll be saved. I might not know if that's me. He might not mean me. My dad's name was Frank Tate. In the 1980s, there was a middleweight boxing champion named Frank Tate. It might mean him, not me. There's a jazz trumpet player named Frank Tate. I wouldn't know who this meant. But God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I can fit in that, can you? Whosoever? You see, the gospel is not exclusive. The gospel, God's gospel, never keeps a sinner out. Ever. The gospel is inclusive. God's gospel is the only message that's inclusive. The message of man's free will requires you to do something, and if you don't, you're excluded. The gospel of God's free and sovereign grace is the only message that includes sinners. And God words it this way, whosoever, because the gospel declares that the way of salvation is wide open for sinners. And I can tell you why this says, whosoever. It says whosoever, first of all, because all of us are equally lost in Adam. Look at verse 12. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. There's no difference between the religious and the heathen. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Now we as human beings are very fond of making a lot of distinctions, aren't we? Distinctions between people. But you know, all of those distinctions are man-made. God doesn't see those distinctions. Rich or poor, how much money you got in the bank, how much land you own, how big your house is, that doesn't matter a bit. Because we're all equally lost. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white. It doesn't matter whether you're religious or heathen, whether you're male or female, because we're all equally lost in Adam. There's nothing better about any person in this room. Nothing that about us that makes us better in God's sight than the leader of ISIS. That's so. Whosoever, because we're all equally lost in Adam. Second, this says whosoever, because there's no difference in who Christ saves. Christ saves sinners. That's who he saves. It doesn't matter whether they're black sinners or white sinners, whether they're old sinners or young sinners. You know, you don't have to be a certain age to be saved. All you have to be is a sinner. Christ saves sinners. Christ saves outwardly moral sinners like Paul, and he saves outwardly immoral sinners like the woman at the well or the thief on the cross. Christ saves sinners. That's why he says whosoever. And thirdly, he says whosoever because there's no difference in the way any sinner saved. We're all saved in Christ. We're all saved by God's grace through faith. We're all saved through the blood and the righteousness of Christ. So who can be saved? Whosoever. Secondly, Paul says that salvation is had in a call. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now again, only God could do this. Something as eternal and as extraordinary, as beyond our imagination, as salvation can be had by something as simple as a sinner calling to the Savior. That just comforts my heart. Now, everybody here knows what a call is. Everybody here knows how to call. Calling on God is simply humbling yourself before Him and calling on Him, begging Him to have mercy on you, begging Him to do for you what you can't do for yourself. I'll tell you when you will call. Everybody knows how to call, but we won't. Until God gets us in trouble. Then we'll call. And we won't have to be taught how. You won't have to have some preacher writing a big old thick book and explaining to you how to call on God. The moment God gets you in trouble, you'll call. Remember Peter, the Lord came walking to him on the water. And Peter said, Lord, bid me come to you on the water. And the Lord said, come on. And Peter climbed out of that boat in the middle of that storm and started walking on the water. And then he looked at the storm and the waves. He started to sink. Now, John back there in the boat didn't say, okay, now, Peter, you got to do this. And he didn't have to teach Peter how to call. Lord, save me! And the Lord reached and saved him, didn't he? Everybody here knows how to call. Blind Bartimaeus knew how to call. Blind Bartimaeus never read Scripture. Blind Bartimaeus never saw anything. Blind Bartimaeus never saw the Lord Jesus. But he knew how to call. He heard Jesus is passing by. And he cried, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And all those with him, they were the important people in town. That's how it is when an important person comes to town. You know, all them important people come out, you know, to go through town with him. And they said, shh, you know, Bartimaeus, shh, you know, we'll give you a dollar later. Shh, for now. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That man called. And the call of that sinner stopped the Savior in his tracks. He commanded him to be called, and he healed him. You know how to call. I don't have to teach you how to call. A baby knows how to call when it's hungry. Maggie never taught Daisy how to cry at 3 o'clock in the morning. She's hungry. Never had to teach her that. She can do a lot of things you don't teach her. That just comes naturally to us. God ever makes you hungry, you'll call. You don't even have to audibly be able to speak to call to the Lord. The Lord hears the heart cry of His people. Just like you didn't have to be able to see that serpent lifted up on the pole to be healed, all you had to do is look. He didn't say, see. He said, look. You just turn your heart to that serpent lifted up on a pole and you'll be healed. You call to God from the heart, and you'll be saved. But now here's the thing about a heart call. A heart call is genuine, isn't it? I might say some words that are not genuine, but the call of my heart, now that's genuine. This calling on the Lord is not just saying some words. This calling upon the Lord is not repeating a prayer some soul winner tells you to say. This is the call of a sinner in deep need, a drowning man going down for the last time. It's a genuine call. Now, if you need to be saved, you call on the name of the Lord. Now, I know only the elect will be saved. And I unapologetically preach that because that's what God's word teaches. Only the elect will be saved. God didn't send his son here to try to save anybody. He sent his son here to save his people. Only the elect will be saved. But you write this down. Election never has stopped any sinner from coming to Christ. Never. Never. Any whosoever can call. And every whosoever who's ever called on Christ has been saved. You call on Christ and you'll be saved. You'll find out soon enough. You called him because he first called you. You'll find out soon enough that you called because God gave you faith. He gave you life. You'll find out soon enough you called on God because he chose you first. But none of that is why you call on God. Nobody ever called on God for mercy because they knew they were one of the elect. They always find that out later. Everybody who's ever called on God is called on him because they're a sinner. Now, out of your sin and out of your need, out of your need for the Savior, out of your need for forgiveness, you call on him. And he said, he'll save you. Every whosoever. You remember the leper that came to our Lord? He was a whosoever, wasn't he? And he called. Whosoevers are always nobodies. This leper, he's a nobody. But he called. Lord, if you will, you make me clean. And what our Lord say? I will. Be thou clean. That poor old Syrophoenician woman was a nobody. Just a whosoever. She said, Lord, would you have mercy on a dog like me? He said, oh, your faith is great. Be thee as you will. You leave here this morning. I point those examples out from Scripture so you'll know this is true. If you leave here this morning lost, it's your own fault. That's right. It's your own fault because you didn't call. And if you leave here saved this morning, you don't get any credit. That's all God's doing. Both of those are true. Aren't both of those true, Dan? Then don't try to figure it out. You just call. Call. Call on him. Call on the Lord to save you. Suppose you are drowning. You're out there in the ocean and the waves battering you and you can't swim. And the lifeguard sees you. And he runs out there and throws you a life preserver with this rope attached to it. And there you think, only the elect will be saved. I don't know if he threw that life preserver to me or not. He says, grab a hold of the life preserver. Well, if he's talking to me or not, because only elect will be saved. And you drown, it's your own fault. But if you reach out and grab that life preserver, and that lifeguard pulls you ashore, you're not saved because you grabbed an old life preserver. You're saved because the lifeguard saved you. And the same thing's true of salvation. You call. You call on the Savior out of your need for Christ. And he'll save you. And you won't be saved because you called. You'll be saved because you made a decision. If any of us leave here saved this morning, it's because Christ saved us. By his grace, by his blood, and by his righteousness without any help from us. But yet this is true. Always. There's no salvation without calling on Christ. And you call on him. And if God ever gets you in trouble, you'll call him. Here's the third thing. Salvation, this is the experience of everybody God saves. Salvation is calling on a specific Savior. Because there's just one. There's only one Savior. There's only one Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now you've got to understand this about this Romans 10 verse 13. The key phrase in this verse is not whosoever. The emphasis of this verse is not whosoever. The emphasis of this verse is the name of the Lord. He's the Savior. We're not saved because we called. We're saved because we called on the name of the Lord because he is, Christ is the Savior of sinners. Now, like I said, there's no salvation without calling on the name of the Lord. And the key to that is the name of the Lord. Because the name of the Lord tells us who he is. The name of the Lord describes his character. So when we call on the name of the Lord, who are we calling on? particular, a specific Savior, aren't we? If you're going to be saved, you've got to call on the Savior. If there's just one, and there is, there's only one Savior, then you've got to call on that one Savior, don't you? You've got to call on him. Be sure you're not calling on another Jesus now. People throw the name Jesus around pretty flippantly. Well, there could be another Jesus. Paul said there was. They preach another Jesus. So be sure you're calling on the right Savior. Be sure you don't call on some false Christ. Because our Lord says many of those are going to arise. And many false prophets are going to say, oh, here he is, or here he is, or here he is. And they're all lying. So be sure you call on the right one. What's the name of the Lord? Can you tell me what is the name of the Lord so I can call on him? I can. If you'd be saved, you've got to call on the name of the Lord that's revealed in Scripture. Don't you call on the name of the Lord that I tell you who he is. Don't you call on the name of the Lord somebody else tells you who he is. Call on the name of the Lord who God says he is. Look at Exodus chapter 33. Let's see, what does God say his name is? That's what matters, isn't it? God tells us what his name is. Exodus 33, verse 18. And he, Moses, said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And God said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And here's the name of the Lord. And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. You know what the name of the Lord declares? That he's the sovereign Savior. He saves whom he will, when he will. We can't make him do it. We can't make him do it by our call. We can beg him, but he's going to save his people of his own free and sovereign will. Look at Matthew chapter 1. He's the sovereign Savior. Here's another time we hear the name of the Lord. His name describes exactly who he is. His name describes his character. Matthew 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, Savior. For he shall save his people from their sins. This Savior that we call upon is the successful Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ did not come to make salvation possible. He came to surely and certainly save his people from their sin. You call on his name. His name is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. You call on him because you don't have any righteousness of your own. His name is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. You call on him because you don't have anything of your own to commend you to God. His name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. Then you call on him because you're full of sin sickness, the disease of sin. You're dead in sin. His name is Jehovah Raya, the Lord my shepherd. You call on him because you're lost and you cannot find your way back to him. Call on him. Now I want you to listen to me. Don't just call on the name Jesus. Like I said, there's different Jesuses, false Jesuses, aren't they? And I really dislike when I hear anybody talking about Jesus. People say Jesus this and Jesus that. I told Jesus this, I talked to Jesus this, like he's some equal of theirs. Now, I know that Jesus, you call his name Jesus, you call his name Savior. That is the earthly name of our Savior. But our Savior is the Lord Jesus. That man Jesus is God. The name Jesus is a highly exalted name, a name exalted above every other name, that in his name every knee bow, and every tongue confess that he's what? Lord. Then always refer to him as Lord. Always refer to him as the Lord Jesus. When the disciples wrote in the Gospels, they wrote about what Jesus did. They're talking about what the man did. But when they talked to him, never one time is it recorded in Scripture they called him Jesus. They always called him Lord. You and I better do the same thing. My dad's name was Frank. I loved him and respected him like no other. His name was Frank. Never one time did I call him Frank. Ever. It was always Dad. Out of respect. Well, how much more respect should we have for the name that saves? How much more respect should we have for that name which is above every name, the name of the Savior? You call on the Lord Jesus Christ. For there neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. He's the Savior of sinners. Here's the fourth thing. This is an important question. I ask you, I want you to answer this question, deal with this question honestly. Do you want to be saved? But now, we need to talk about this for a second. Saved from what? Have you ever thought about that? What do you want to be saved from? Many people say they got saved. They want to be saved. But now, I have to ask you, saved from what? Salvation, the salvation that is talked about in Scripture and in our text here this morning, is not being saved from hell. Now, unless somebody is just insane out of their mind, nobody wants to go to hell. What a dumb question. Of course I don't want to go to hell. But salvation, not being saved from hell. Salvation is being saved from sin. Sin. And not everybody wants to be saved from sin. Did you know that? Not everybody wants to be saved from sin because everybody doesn't think they're a sinner. But if you're a sinner, you've got one hope of salvation. You call on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved from your sin. You'll be saved from your sin in the Lord Jesus Christ because Christ was made sin for his people. And he suffered everything God's justice demands for that sin. You call on Christ to be saved from your sin, and you will be. Because Christ died to take away the sin of his people. And that's our great need. Now, everybody here has got different walks of life and, you know, different things going on in our lives. But I tell you, this is the great need of every person. You don't have a greater need than this. To be saved from your sin. That's what salvation is, saved from sin. Now, if you're a sinner, then you call. And here's the fifth thing. Is salvation from sin? There's an order to it. God is a God of order. You know, salvation is, you'll not find anything in Scripture about walking an aisle or doing all these crazy things people do. God has an order to salvation. Scripture teaches, we just read it, you've got a call. There's got to be a call to a specific Savior to be saved from our sin, doesn't it? But like I said, there's many Jesuses out there. Well, how will we know which Jesus to call upon? Verse 14. This is what Paul asked. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, Scripture teaches us we've got to call on a specific Savior. Paul gives us four vitally important questions here. Now, these are vital questions. Yet, they're not hard to understand at all. And if you take any time at all to think about them, these four questions, you'll see God's order in salvation. Here's the first question. How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? Now, we know there's no salvation without faith in Christ. You must believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe Christ or you will die in your sin. But now if you believe Christ, whoever you are, you'll be found not guilty. Look back at verse 11. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There's that word whosoever again. Now there's no salvation without calling, right? Whosoever shall call. And there's no salvation without faith. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord and whosoever believes on him shall be saved. You'll never call on Christ until you believe. The moment you believe, he's your only hope of salvation. That's when you'll call on him. Here's a second question Paul asked. How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? Now, that just makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, the gospel is not hard to understand. You can't believe on somebody you don't even know exists. We have to hear who Christ is before we can believe on him. That's obvious, isn't it? But now let me give you a warning. Simply hearing the gospel with these ears, simply hearing the name, even preached in truth, the name of Christ preached, that's not salvation. Believing Christ, knowing who he is, that's a work of grace in the heart. It doesn't come from the natural understanding. Look at verse 16. But they've not all obeyed the gospel. They've heard, but they haven't all obeyed. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Isaiah felt like nobody's believing. Who has believed? We've got to believe. Now, I know I need Christ. I need Christ to save me. I've got to call on him. I've got to know who he is. Somebody's got to tell me who he is before I can believe. I see that. But how can I hear about him? Can somebody tell me how I can hear about him? He's the great need of my soul. Is there anybody saying who he is? That's Paul's third question. How shall they hear without a preacher? Now, we must believe on the name of Christ. We must call on Christ to be saved. But now somebody's got to tell us who to believe. There's so many different religions preaching so many different ways of salvation and different saviors. Somebody's got to tell me which one of those is right. Somebody's got to tell me who to believe. And the way we'll hear is through preaching. It's pleased God by what men call the foolishness of preaching. It's not foolish preaching, as Brother Henry said so often. It's what people think we're doing here this morning, people think is foolish. You know, people think in our day we've evolved to the point where we have sharing and doing all these different... God hadn't changed, brethren. By the foolishness of preaching, God has chosen, he's ordained to save them that believe. Could God save sinners without preaching? Of course he could. But will he? No, he will not. Because God has chosen, has pleased him to save his people, to save sinners through the preaching of Christ. Now, if you're lost, and you know it, if you're lost, you know it. If you don't know Christ, you know you don't know him. Don't you ever think that there's nothing you can do to be saved. Don't you ever think that. You can be sure that you're in a place where the gospel's preached. You can do that. If I didn't know Christ, I would be sure I could hear Christ preached as often as I possibly could. Because what verse 17 says. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If saving faith cometh by hearing the word of God preached, I believe I'd be there as often as I could to hear him preached. Wouldn't you? And again, here's another warning. We're talking about preachers and preaching here. Everybody who calls himself a preacher is not a preacher. Now, you know this. This is as obvious as a nose on your face. Somebody wearing a robe, wearing a religious costume, and making all this show of the flesh is not a preacher. But somebody wearing a dark suit and a dark tie, standing behind a pulpit reading the Bible, all them aren't preachers either. How can I know that somebody's preaching the gospel? How can I know somebody's preaching the Christ that I must believe and that I must call on? Here's Paul's fourth question, verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them, and here's the message, that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, no man can preach unless God equips him. No man can preach unless God gives him the message and God sends him to preach it. And no man is sufficient for these things. Of himself, no man is. And sadly, many people don't know that. So many people talk, but few men actually preach. Well, how do I know if a man who calls himself a preacher is really a preacher or not? Well, God's preachers tell the truth. Even if it offends you, God's preachers preach the truth. They preach the gospel of peace. Now, if we're going to preach the gospel of peace, first of all, we've got to tell why there's a war, don't we? There's a war going on. Man is fallen in Adam. Man has declared war on God. God's angry with the wicked. We've got to have peace with God. Now the message that says if you do something or you do it well enough and you have peace, you know in your heart, that's a lie. Go to bed at night. It's late. Nobody else is awake in the house. You wake up in the middle of the night. And you think about that. Does that give your heart any peace? That's not the message of peace. The message of peace is this. God has made peace for His people through the blood of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we talk about the cross, we're not just talking about that piece of wood. We mean all the substitutionary work of Christ. There's peace with God in His blood that cleanses us from all sin. There's peace of God in, with God in His righteousness that makes us stand before the Father righteous. There's peace with God not because we did something good enough, but because Christ our representative obeyed the law perfectly. That's the message of peace. You lay awake at night, and you can toss, and you can turn, and you can worry. But to the believer, what our heart always comes back to is this. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what all this stuff means. My only hope is Christ. And we get there, there's peace. He is the gospel, the message of peace. God's preachers preach glad tidings of good things. There are no glad tidings and no good things telling us to do things, is there? There's no good glad tidings in our works because we don't do anything good. So if we're going to preach good, glad tidings, we can just preach one message. There's none good but one, that's God. We just preach Christ. Here's how you can tell God's preacher. He's got one message. I don't care what scripture he selects as his text. The message is Christ. He is the glad tidings of good. God's preachers never preach the goodness of man because there isn't any. We always preach Christ. The glad tidings of the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Now that's the message. If God's given you an ear to hear it, if he's given you a need, you call him. You call on him right now. I pray God will give us the faith to call on Christ. Not just once, but to continually call upon him and to depend upon him. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, how we thank you for the plain, simple message of your word. Father, I pray that you would cause what we've heard this morning from your word to be mixed with faith. Father, give us faith to believe. Give us faith to look to Christ, to depend upon him, to call upon him, that he might be our all and in all. How we thank you for a full, free salvation without any works of our own in our Lord Jesus Christ. We do truly pray to him be all the glory and praise and adoration, not unto us, but unto thee, O Lord. Father, we thank you for this food that we're about to eat. We thank you for this time of fellowship, and we pray that you bless it. And we do thank you for the occasion. Now we thank you for young Brooke. And Father, we pray your continued mercy be upon her, that you'd watch over her, that you'd protect her, that you'd guide her every step as she begins this next chapter in her life. Father, don't leave her alone. Watch over her. Protect her. We pray your richest mercy and grace be upon her. And we thank you for making her one of ours. And bless us, Father, we pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give thanks and we ask these blessings. Amen.